Okay, so we are holding on some house on the power. Eight lines, nine lines from the bottom. One is the border. Two lines in a row that begin to border the second one that has the hay marking on it. Okay, we discussed yesterday as follows. We started discussing, our Mishnah had said that if a person worships of a Zara, they're chayav mitzvah, which implies if a person just says, I'm going to worship of a Zara, that in itself doesn't make him chayav mitzvah. Later on in our parasha, we have a Mishnah talking about the case of a Mesis, where somebody tries to convince somebody else to worship of a Zara, and it says over there that if he says, who is the he, and Mephoshim discussed whether it means the Mesis or the Musas, the one who's being talked to, whatever, says, for example, Eilach v'Evod, I will go and worship, or Melech v'Navod, we will go and worship, or whatever, that itself makes him Chayiv Misa. So what is it? It's saying that I'm going to worship. Mesis is somebody who tries to convince somebody else to worship over the Zohar. The Musas is the one who's being convinced. Rashi learns that the listener, the Musas, is the one who says, fine, Eilach v'Evod, I will go and worship. That already makes him Chayiv Misa.
That's right.
Rashi mentions that over here. That's the question. We're going to see as we go through. But the question is, on the face of it, our Mishnah is saying, just because I say I'm the worship of a Zara doesn't mean anything. Whereas that Mishnah implies, as soon as you say, I am going to worship of a Zara, that's what we'll deal with that. Wait, but at the moment, we started with the assumption that it's the same thing. So we started by saying that maybe there's a difference. So we started by saying that Rabbi Nuna had wanted to say that there's a distinction whether in our Mishnah maybe you're talking about you saying eventually I will accept it, but only at the time I actually go and worship it, such as with a korban or what have you. Whereas the other Mishnah is just talking about you make a general statement that I'm accepting it. I'll worship it. Rav Yosef had said that no, Rav Yosef had started saying it's machloikas tanoim, because we find the case where Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda argue if a person tries to convince other people to worship him, then Rav Meir says he's chayav as a mesis, and Rav Yehuda says he's potter. If nobody ends up worshiping, and say, well, if they go worship him, then everybody would agree he's chayav. Okay, so that's where we left it yesterday. So now nine lines from the bottom. Chodor Omer Rav Yosef. Then Rav Yosef rethought it and said, Lav milsehi de'amri. No, what I said to say that the difference between on Mishnah and the later on Samach Zayin, that it's the difference between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, that's not correct. Because you find elsewhere that Rabbi Yehuda would actually say you are chayiv just for dibur. Namely, Rabbi Yehuda, there's another braita that says, Rabbi Yehuda says, la'olam eini chayiv, a person is never chayiv for dibur, only when it comes to a nisus, where he listens to the mesis, until he says, yes, I will worship, or eilach v'evod, or I will go and worship, or neilach v'navod, or we will go and worship. In other words, therefore, you can't say the later Mishnah goes according to the mayor that any kind of dibur is significant, and our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it's not. Even Rabbi Yehuda himself is making a distinction between different kinds of, according to this last braisa, that Rabbi Yehuda himself agrees that with certain kinds of dibur, a person can be chayav misa.
So what's the difference?
So therefore, so that's the question. But my conviction. So therefore, so we have to ask, what is so in that case, what is the underlying machloikas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda in the earlier case, in the previous case, where somebody tries to convince other people to worship him? That must be a separate issue. Only in that specific case would Rav Yehuda say that dibur is not significant. Namely, the mesis la'atmai, the amri le'ein. The machloikas between them would be: what if you have a person trying to worship other people to convince other people to worship him himself? The amri le'ein, and the people who hear him say yes. What does that yes signify? Marasava mesis la'atmei shamile. The mayor holds that when a person is trying to be mesis other people to worship him as an idol, people might well listen to him. The ein dekamri like kushka, who therefore when they tell him yes, that's the equivalent of saying, yes, I accept what you're saying, I'm going to worship you, and that would make them chayav misa. Because the Pasuk says by a mesis, the expression in the Pasuk is that when a mesis tries to convince you to worship idols, loy soiva loy, don't pay any attention to him, loy sishma elov, don't listen to him. So we learn from that if the musas, so the nises, two words that mean basically the same thing, if the listener does agree, if he is of a shoma, if he does pay attention and he does listen, that would make him chayav misa. So therefore, sort of mayor figures in this case, fine. They said yes, that means they accepted. That makes them chayav misa. Tosfos over here, as I said briefly yesterday, Tosfos discusses over here that we may be talking over here about not necessarily about the chiyuv of the nisus, but rather the chiyuv of the mesis, the instigator. When is he chayav misa and not? Okay. Well, because you could explain it this way, because the Gemara is going to say in a second that when it comes to being maces, other people, Rabbi Yehuda would hold that you're coming to be maces, other people to worship you, not necessarily are going to pay any attention to you anyway. So therefore, if they never listen, then you didn't really have anything that could be considered hasasa. In fact, not Kamach Malan, but that would be what Rabbi Yehuda holds. That's what we're going to say. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds.
He doesn't convince you.
And actually, I mentioned yesterday an idea that the Ram says on this, because the difference is, if a Macy's says to people, you should worship Baal, for example. Okay, Baal exists as an entity that other people worship. Therefore, as soon as you say, you should worship Baal, that already makes you a Macy's. Mashenkin, you say, you should worship me. I don't exist in as an Avodah Zarah until somebody actually worships me. Yeah. So therefore, you don't have anything that can be called Hasasa, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Whereas Rabbi Meir would disagree. Okay. Omar Sava, whereas Rabbi Yehuda would hold, Mesis la'asmei le'shami le'no. When a person is trying to be Mesis, other people to worship him, nobody's going to listen to him anyway. He's a human being just like them. So even people who would be susceptible to Hasasa to other Getchkes are not going to be susceptible to such Hasasa. Meima Amri, the people are going to say to themselves, Maishna ihu minandi dan. Why is this guy any different than me? I'm not a god. Why should I assume that he's a god? The Eindik Amri, so what do they say? Yes. They're saying whatever. They're saying yes, like laugh at him, exactly. So therefore, that would explain the machlokes of a mayor and a beholder regarding hamesis la'atma. That's a different thing than the question about the regular case where a person says, I'm going to worship Avodah Zarah, where our Mishnah implies he's potter, and the later Mishnah on Samach Zion implies he's chayav. So what is the difference between the Mishnayos? Says Rabbi Yosef, can be yochid hanisis, can be rabim hanisotim. The difference is, one's talking about a yochid who's being talked to convince him. The other one is talking about rabim, namely yochid lemimlach. A yochid, after he says I'm going to worship, is not necessarily going to change his mind. The toy basri, so therefore he'll go and end up actually getting misled and actually worshiping it. So therefore, that later Mishnah, when it says Eloch Ve'Eved, it's talking about a Yochid. Once he's convinced, he's not likely to get unconvinced on his own. Rabim Mimlachiv Leitov Asre. Whereas when you have Rabim, who you try to be Mesis, even if they say yes, we'll go worship, they can always change their mind afterwards. One of them can talk the others out of it.
A Yochid apparently would not.
Now, with that said, though, the Rambam points out, later on in that Mishnah, we don't just have the expression Eloch Ve'Eved, we also have the expression Nelech Ve'Navoid, which is in the plural. So how does that fit with our Gemara over here? So in fact, the Rambam flips around the Girsa. He says, on the contrary, if you have Rabim, then groupthink. You know, once you have the group is doing something, everybody's going to go along with it. As opposed to when a person thinks of it on his own, he might well realize, wait, what am I doing? And then go back. Okay. So therefore, that would be a difference. The Amr of Yosef Menon in the law, so Rabbi Yosef says, where do I get such an idea that there's a distinction between Yochid and Rabbim? This is because the prophet says, like say the law of Ishmael, the prophet says you in the singular should the prophet says you in the singular should not pay attention.
Where
do I get this idea that there's a difference between a Yochid and Rabbim? And I want to say that a Yochid is one game, and a Rabbim is a different game. The reason is because the Pasuk says by Mesis, don't pay any attention to him and don't listen to him, implying Ha'ovav Hashem Chayev, implying if he did listen, if he did pay attention, then he's Chayev. But the Pasuk says it in the singular. So therefore, we see that there's a difference between the singular and between the Yochid and the Rabbim.
Okay. However, Abaya asked them, are you telling me that you can find a distinction between a Rabbim and a Yochid? Which is what he's saying.
But we learn in a Braisa on that same section where the Torah is describing the concept of Mesis, it starts off that if your brother, the son of your mother, or any of your other relatives tries to seduce you, tries to talk you into Avodah Zarah, the Braisa says Echad Yochid Anisis VeEchad Rabim Anisosim. The same rule would apply whether he's trying to talk to a Yochid or to Rabim. But the Hoytziyakosid Yochid Meklal Rabim VeRabim Meklal Yochid. But the pasuk mentions in different contexts, it singles out that there's one din that applies to a Yochid and a different din that applies to Rabim. Namely, Yochid Meklal Rabim. The Torah singles out the case of a Yochid who is Musa, who is convinced to worship Avodah Zarah. Namely, Lahachme Al Gufer Lahokel Amoyne. In the sense, there's a Chumra as far as his Guf. He gets Skila, which is the harshest of all the punishments, as we learned before. If he's convinced, yeah.
On the other hand, Mohawk Alama Minor, but on the other hand, it's a leniency as far as his money. He's not treated like the people of the Yoni Dak, that's where their property is burned, is destroyed.
And the rabbim are singled out in a different way. The punishment for their own bodies is less severe. They get hereg rather than skila, which is two levels down. On the other hand, it's worse as far as their property that it gets destroyed. Implying, Abaye says, "Bahom milsa hu deshaini," implying only as far as that distinction between yachid and between the punishments, between the types of punishment, does there seem to be a difference? Alva b'chol miliki adonin. It sounds like the Braita is saying, other than that, a yachid and a rabbim are exactly the same. So it sounds like, just like the pasuk is saying, yes, it's true, it's in the singular, lo soiva v'lo tishma, don't pay attention and don't listen to him, implying, and if you didn't, you're going to be chayev. The implication from the Braita is the same thing would apply to the rabbim. As soon as the rabbim say Eilach ve'Eved or Neilach ve'Naved, what have you, then they're chayev. What are you telling me? That is a distinction that in one case they're going to change their mind and in the other case they're not. Elo, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, no, you can't use that answer to explain the distinction between the two Mishnah. The difference, rather, has to be kan benissus.
One Mishnah is talking about where he's convinced on his own, where he himself decides one day that he's going to worship Avodah Zarah. And the other is later on, Samach Zion, is talking about when he was convinced by others.
The difference is, if he just decides on his own, he wakes up one morning and decides, Eilach ve'Eved, I'm going to go worship, fine, Mimloch, he might change his mind later. We don't necessarily expect that statement is going to lead him to actually doing it. He may come to his senses before he actually does it.
Okay.
As opposed to when other people have convinced him, he might well just follow them. He might not say, I'm convinced, I'm going to go. So as soon as he says, Eilach ve'Eved, that would make him chayv
himself. In that sense.
So if the rabbin tells him, not a rabbin, if a yochid speaks to a yochid, or a yochid speaks to a rabbin, either way, Abaye is saying, as soon as they're convinced by the speaker, yes, Eilach ve'Eved, or Neilach ve'Eved, they're going to be chayv.
As opposed to our Mishnah, it's talking about where a guy just spontaneously one day decides, Eilach ve'Eved, I'm going to go worship Avodah Zarah. That doesn't make him chayav nisa yet, because there's no reason to think. Just like he had a machshava zara at one moment, he'll have another machshava the next moment to contradict it. It's not like anybody talked him into it.
He said it.
It's an avera for him to say it. And I mentioned at the end yesterday that Eberstein punishes a person even for thoughts of Avodah Zarah, but here we're talking about what Basin deals with. Okay. I'm going to buy him a norm in the law. So Abaye says, where do I get that distinction between whether somebody convinced him or whether he thought of it on his own? Because again, the pasuk says, don't pay attention to him and don't listen to him. Implying as soon as he paid attention and listened to the mesis, he becomes chayim. So therefore, that later Mishnah on Samach Zayin is talking about involving the dinim of a mesis. Our Mishnah is talking about where there was no mesis, he just thought of it on his own. Rava says, here's a different answer. Both Mishnayos can be talking about where there was a mesis, where somebody is trying to convince him. The difference is, the one Mishnah, later on in the Perek, is talking about where the mesis didn't just tell him, how would you like to go and worship the Avodah Zarah? He actually goes and starts talking to him about what it does. This is how it eats, this is how it drinks, this is the kind of good it does, this is the kind of evil it does to those who don't worship it. So then when he says, when he hears that whole speech about the greatness of the Avodah Zarah, then he agrees, Eilach ve'Eved, then he becomes Chayav Misa for that. Hadaloyim Aleikach Achelas Kach Shoytepul, as opposed to our Mishnah, it's just how would you like to go worship Baal with me? The guy says, Eilach ve'Eved, that itself doesn't make him Chayav Misa, Rava says.
Wait.
Because, well, Omar Rava Minoam Minallah, so Rava says, where do I get this distinction from? Because further, in the next pasuk in that parasha of Mesit, says that what kind of god, what kind of idol might this guy, your relative or your friend or whatever, try to convince you to worship? From among the gods of the nations that are surrounding you, that are nearby you, or the pasuk continues, or the ones who are far away.
Spiritually?
No, we mean geographically. Why does the pasuk have to mention near or far? What difference does it make exactly? No, what the pasuk needs to say like this. Mikivusa shall crave him based on
like this. If somebody tries to convince you to worship a faraway god, a god of some faraway nation, maybe you would think that could listen to him. It might not be the real thing. How do you know that not? Mikivusa shall crave him based on the character of the newer one. The simple meaning is related to Toy, but it means like character, like what type of thing it is. The Orof gives a different expression. It means like from the way people speak about the newer one, at the moment, not people can show the focus. You can deduce from that what the faraway ones are like. In other words, you're familiar with the goyim.
You're familiar with the Avodah Zarah that the goyim worship locally. You know perfectly well that they're just statues. They don't eat, they don't drink, they don't do good, they don't do bad. Based on that, you can logically deduce the same thing is true as far as the ones where they worship 100 miles away or whatever. Right. So my lab. Now, so what's the point of mentioning that? My lab. So evidently, then, the Pasuk must be talking about exactly that. We have to be talking about, Rava says, evidently, that's the point of the Braisa. That the Pasuk is telling us, suppose the guy comes and tells you, I was just in such and such a town, about 100 miles away, and they worship an Avodah Zarah over there, which is amazing. It eats like this. It drinks like this. You should realize that I know the local Getchkas don't do any of those things. Why should I think that a Getchka 100 miles away does? And don't listen to him. And if you listen to him and say yes, then you're going to be kind of mitzvah. The implication is if he didn't make such a speech, if he just said, how would you like to worship this Avodah Zarah from 100 miles away, and you say yes, that itself will make you kind of mitzvah. Because the guy didn't give you any reason to think that, to even have a minute to think that you should worship it. That would be the
you need reason to
no, but, no, but that's the point. In other words, that if the guy gives you that whole speech, or whatever, then the pasuk is saying, you should right away realize that what he's talking is shtus, because you should realize based on the nearby one. So as soon as you say, hey, you know, that's not shtus, let me go and do that, chayav misa. As opposed to, if he doesn't give you any reason even to think, okay, I just came back from there and they worship the Avodah Zarah, how would you like to worship it with me? And the guy says yes, that itself is not reason enough to make him chayav. The mace is sure is chayav misa, but that's according to Rava, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Doesn't mean, no, obviously he goes and worships God at his other point.
But just by saying, yes, you know what, that sounds like a good idea, that doesn't make him hide.
It's like the internet, but if you don't have all the specs in there, then you can say it was a good sale. Why you
yeah,
I would it without knowing all the specs.
Well,
so,
I mean,
we're...
No, the halacha, as far as I know, is not like that. The Gemara is going to give us more answers of the distinction between the two Mishnayim. Yeah, basically, if a person says, I'm going to worship Avodah Zarah, and that makes him Chayav Misa. But yeah, okay, fine. Shmami Nasan, where Rava says, so fine, that proves my point.
Rav Ashi says, here's a different answer. Sefer being strong mumma. The Sefer, meaning the Mishnah later on, Pach Zayin, can be talking about the strong mummer. There we're talking about a
yid who's already a mummer. He's already done averus, such as Avodah Zarah or whatever. No,
doesn't mean he served Avodah Zarah.
No, mummer. Usually mummer unspecified does mean he worshipped Avodah Zarah. Some of the Mepharshim say we could be talking about if he's mummer the Davacha, if he habitually does some other Avodah, but many of the Mepharshim say we're talking about he's habitually done Avodah Zarah in the past, just they were never able to catch him, there was never any Edim Vastra or whatever. Now all of a sudden he says, Eloch Ve'eloid, and Edim hear it. That's reason enough to take him in Med B'Machayv and Misa because he already has a past history. We know that his Eloch Ve'eloid is likely to lead to actually doing it. Whereas our Mishnah is talking about just a regular run of the mill yid who one day wakes up and says Eloch Ve'eloid, even in the presence of Edim, that's not enough to be mechayev. Ravina Amar Lo Yizru Afzuka. It's funny. Ravina says
first time it's not enough to make
mechayev misa. Okay, that's what Rav Ashi is answering. That just because if he doesn't have a past history of Avodah Zarah, just because he wakes up one day and says Eloch Ve'eloid doesn't mean that doesn't make him chayev misa. Okay, Ravina says, and here's the last answer, Loi zuach zukatan.
The Mishnayot are complementary. Our Mishnah is saying not only this, but also this. Our Mishnah is telling us the lesser chiddush,
that if you worship Avodah Zarah, you chayav misa. It doesn't talk about it. Our Mishnah is not addressing the question of a person says or not. Later on, the Mishnah says, you should know not only is a person going to be chayav for worshiping Avodah Zarah, but even just for saying that he's going to worship.
So the Mishnah on Samach Zayin
is telling us the fact that as soon as a person says Eloch Ve'eved, he's going to be Chayav Misa.
That contradicts our Mishnah.
Yeah, no, it doesn't contradict our Mishnah because our Mishnah wasn't addressing the whole question of speaking. Our Mishnah just said you worship Avodah Zarah, you Chayav Misa. Our Mishnah didn't get into the question what happens if you only say I'm going to worship. The Mishnah told us the lesser chiddush if you worship it, you Chayav, and then it leaves the bigger chiddush for later. You should know not only if you worship, but even if you say you're going to worship. No.
That's
how it is. So that's how it is. Person says, I'm going to worship Avodah Zarah, Chayav Misa. Okay. New discussion. If somebody worships Avodah Zarah because of Ava or Yira. Now, what do we mean by Ava and... Well, one second. So first, let's learn the actual Machloikas, and then the Machloikas, Abaya and Rava, and then we'll talk about what Ava and Yira mean.
Abaya Omachayev Rava Ava Potter. Abaya says he is Chayev, and Rava says he's Potter. Abaya Omachayev Dar Polcha. Abaya says he's Chayev, because that's what he worshipped it. His motivation doesn't matter. Rava Ama Potter, and Rava says he's Potter. And by the way, that's the halacha. Because I kibble aleb elika ein, only if he accepted as a god, then yes, he's Chayev Misa. Eloi loy, and if not, then not. So we're going to, well, that's what we have to show. Okay, so what do we mean Ava and Yira?
So Rashi explains Ava and Yira means he loves somebody else, he's seen with somebody else. He's worshiping Abba Dazara. Let's say he's good friends with this guy. My friend is worshiping Abba Dazara.
I love him so much that I want to worship whatever it is that he worships. Or Miira, I'm afraid of him. He's gonna harm me or whatever. And
he's not really
so he's not doing it. Right. Yeah, so this is according to Rashi. According to Rashi. Now, the obvious question is, Tosfos asks, what happened to Yehoreg Valyavar? I mean, Miira is exactly the case. Were you supposed to be Moser Nefesh for it? So Tosfos starts by saying that's fine. What it means is you are obligated to be Moser Nefesh, but Robert would say, if you didn't, you're not going to be Chayav Misa. You did a serious aver, you were Mechalel Shem Shemayim, but nevertheless, you can't be Chayav Misa for it. Because the fact is, Rava's saying, because you're not doing it for the sake of the Avodah Zarah, you're doing it because somebody is threatening you. It's still author, but yeah. Then Tosfos gives another answer, that Yehoreg Valyavar is talking about a Stam Avodah Zarah. Ava and Yira over here is talking about something where nobody worships it because they actually believe in it. Everybody worships it because of Ava and Yira. For example, we're going to bring this to the example of Haman. Nobody bowed down to Haman because they really believe that he's an idol. They were afraid. They're afraid of the consequences.
So what's
the Ava would be the other thing around. If there was somebody who loved Haman so much that they want to bow down to him because of their love for him, that would be the onus is talking about primarily Yira. The point is, we're saying Yira. So that's the thing. So Tosfos, the second answer is, if a person worships a regular Avodah Zarah, Me'ava or Me'ira, sure, Rava would agree he's Chayev, because he should have been Yehoreg Valyava. But if you have an Avodah Zarah where everybody who worships it is doing so because of Ava and Yira, and you did it because of Yira, you're standing over there in the king's gate, and the Haman is passing by, and if you don't bow down to him, he's going to take it out on you and the whole Jewish people, then Rava is saying you'd be Potter. That's the case.
That's something
I love. Wait, so now the question is, in that case, Tosfos says, so then why didn't Mordechai bow to Haman, Taka?
Exactly. Well, he wasn't afraid of him.
Well, why shouldn't he be afraid on behalf of the whole Jewish people? He knew that Haman is a raging anti-Semite, and he could take it out on all people, as in fact he did. So Tosfos gives two answers to that also. Number one, it wasn't just Haman himself, it's that he had an idol on his chest. He had an idol hanging from his chest, so that every time anybody's bowing to him, they're also bowing to the idol. That for sure is not allowed. That's one. And second of all, Tosfos says he wanted to do it in the Tzad Kiddush Hashem. There is, by the way, an interesting thing. The Shulamah
says he was afraid.
No. In other words, according to Tosfos' first answer, if Haman had not been wearing the statue on his chest, then Mordechai could have, according to Rava, Mordechai could have bowed down to Haman. It's interesting.
By the way, the Shulamah Sadeshin brings the interesting question, what happens, for example, you have a high-ranking official, a bishop, an archbishop, or whatever, who's wearing a cross or whatever. Yeah, can you bow to them?
No.
And he says, Taka not, on the basis of what Tosfos is saying over here. And he mentions, for example, I think the bishop of, I think, Vienna or something, who was sensitive enough that when he was around Jews and he wanted them to honor him, he would hide his cross, so that way the Jews could bow to him. The Shulamah Sadeshin mentions other possibilities. Also, you could bow before the guy comes into the room and you're still bowing when he comes in, whatever. Yeah.
Is the cross considered a geshke?
So actually, what it's brought in Shulchan Aruch is it depends. There's crosses that they actually bow down in front of, and then there's ones that they just use as decoration. Like nowadays, you have a lot of people wear cross necklaces. They don't actually bow to them or anything, but they use them as a symbol of their religion.
So the ones they bow down to
are the ones we're talking about. Okay. Anyway, going back to Ava and Yira, there's a number of other explanations that Ramban says in answer to what Tosfos is asking about Yehoreg Valyavar. Ava and Yira over here doesn't mean Ava and Yira involving life or death. Then Taka, Rava would say, then Taka, Yehoreg Valyavar, and Rava would agree, Yechayim. We mean Ava and Yira Ava and Yira over here, he says, means regarding money. You're afraid, for example, the guy is going to fine you or something. You're not doing it. You're not doing it at all because you believe in the divinity of the thing. Therefore, Rava says you're possible. Again, you're not supposed to do it. You're Yehoreg Valyavar, but at least
still a Yira. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but it's a different kind of Yira. That's how the Ramban explains it. And then the Rambam has a whole different explanation of Ava Yira. The Rambam says that Ava means that a person falls in love with the statue because it's very beautiful. For example, like imagine some of these Greek statues that you see in museums or whatever, and because of that, he wants to worship it. Or Yira. he has a superstitious belief that the god that this statue represents could harm me if I don't worship it. So he's not believing in it as a deity, but he's doing it because he loves the workmanship of it, or he fears the consequences. So the Ravid argues with the Rambam, many of the other Rishonim argue with the Rambam, they say, especially Yira, what are you talking about? I mean, the Goyim themselves, they all believe that there's a higher God, they all believe that the Eidishter is Ramach or Goyim Avaya, and that they're by and large, the Goyim in those times, they all believe, Dekoder Le'ele, Koder Le'ele, the famous expression, they all knew that there's an Eidishter who created the world. They just thought that he relegated the day-to-day workings of it to the various Yetchkes and whatever. So therefore, yeah, anytime a person worships another Zara, they're afraid of what it's going to do to them because they think that it's in charge. So how can the Rambam call that Yira? But that is how the Rambam understands it.
How can the Rambam call it Yira?
That's the question. That's
they believe that
but that's the question. In other words, we know a person worships Avodah Zarah because they believe in it and they're tired. How is it Rambam saying that not believing in it as a god, but believing that it could harm you if you don't worship it, that shouldn't be considered Avodah Zarah? It should be Potter. How does that work? Nevertheless, though, that is what the Rambam says. Okay. So, Simon Eved Yishtach Vel Mashiach. So now we have a Simon for three cases that we're going to bring where we're going to use those at where Abaye is going to try to use them as proof
for his
position. That you're chayav in this case.
I'm
not
even
going to
remember all this
command,
just have to remember three words.
Yeah, and then it brings it to mind, yeah. So Abaye says, where do I get this idea that you worship a getchka because of Ava and Yira, you should be chayav? It's not, because you had an Amishna. Our Mishnah started out by saying if a person worships Avodah Zarah, whether he worships it, or whether he brings a carbon, or and so on and so forth. My lab, echad oved me'avo m'yira. L'chora, what does the word echad oved mean? Given that it mentions other avodas later on in the Mishnah, presumably it means somebody who's oved me'avo m'yira, as opposed to, then you have the various cases, for example, where a person shechts a carbon to it because he really believes in it, or pours a libation to it because he really believes in it, etc. And therefore, that shows ha'ovid would be ha'ovid me'avo me'yira. He doesn't really believe in it, but he's doing it out of fear or love or whatever. And the Mishnah is still saying he's chayav mitzvah. So there you go. V'rava amalach loy. Rava would answer no.
That's not what the word echad ha'ovid means. I think what we said yesterday, how Rabbi Yirmiyah explained it, that echad ha'ovid
means that you worshipped it in the normal way that this particular getchke is worshipped, for example, poyer the poyer, or throwing stones to Merkulis or whatever. And then all the other ones are talking about the four general avodas that we said a person is chayav regardless of
Kedah. The way it's normally worshipped, he's not chayav.
No. So then the Mishnah is saying two different things. Let's say with Merkulis. There's five ways, in other words, that a person could be chayav for worshipping Merkulis. One, by throwing stones at it, which is Kedah.
Right.
That's what it means, echad ha'ovid.
Right.
Two, by shechting a korban. Three, by pouring a libation. Four, by... Four by burning something, and five by bowing to it.
Right.
So that's echad ha'ovid would mean the first of those, throwing stones, because that's the normal thing to do to miracles. That's what it would mean. It doesn't mean like you, Abaye, are saying that you're worshipping it, for example, by bringing a korban or bowing or whatever, but you're doing an av or a miyura, but it's talking about just the case where you're worshipping it in its normal way, kedarka.
Otherwise you're not chayav.
But no, either kedarka or one of the four avodas, shalai kedarka. It makes you chayav.
So kedarka
for that avodah zarah, or the four avodas, even if they're shaloi kedarka. But not me'avo or me'yira. The Mishnah is not addressing me'avo or me'yira, says Rava.
I'm going to buy it, so now Abaye says, fine. Never mind that, or then that's fine.
Okay, you've slugged up my first argument. Menominalal, I'll bring you another. Where do I get this din of mine from? The Tanya, because we have a braisa. The Pasuk says, lois tishtach v'lohem. The Pasuk says you should not bow to them. Meaning, what's the lahem for? The pasuk is talking about Avodah Zarah. Of course, it means that. Of course, it means don't bow to Avodah Zarah. Lahem iyat mishtach. That implies you're not allowed to bow to them to getchkes. Avolat mishtach v'la adam kamoscha. But you're allowed to bow down out of respect to a human being like you. In other words, for example, you can bow down to a king, let's say. If the pasuk had just said, it would imply the only one you're allowed to bow to is the Eibishter. You're not allowed to bow to a king, let's say, or a nobleman or whatever. Loitishtach v'la lahem means only to get because you're not allowed to bow. Yeah. Yachol afil nevad kahaman. Then continues the Braisa, you would think that applies even if this person is being worshipped like Haman. Tamad lema v'loy sa'ad. What?
Another example, yeah. Tamad lema v'loy sa'ad. Therefore, the prophet continues, and you should not worship them. So for someone
like Haman, we're bowing down to him. He made himself into a getchka. So therefore, and you're not allowed to bow to him. Even though, in other words, you'd be allowed to bow to him as a dignitary, as a Mishnah Lamelech, but you're not allowed to bow to him
because
once he made himself a getchka.
So the question is, the question is, Abaye says, "V'ha'homan v'yira ha'benevad." L'chora, nobody is bowing to Haman because they really believe that he's a getchka. They're believing to him because they're afraid of the consequences. And you see that the Braita is saying you're not allowed to. So there you go, Meira Yechayev. But Rava, what would Rava answer to that? He would say, Ke Haman v'loika Haman. What the Braita means is the situation has to be similar to Haman, but not exactly like Haman in order to be Chayev. Namely, Ke Haman d'iu gufi avodas kachavim. The Braita is making the comparison to Haman in the sense that Haman had made himself an avodah zarah. However, v'loika Haman, but in order to be chayev, the situation can't be exactly like the case of Haman. Dila Haman miyira, v'hachalav miyira, because in the Haman's case, it was only miyira, and therefore Rava is saying you'd be potter for that. And in another case, if you have somebody who people worship him actually because they believe him, like Paray, for example, would be an example. His subject really believed that he's a god. And that's why he didn't go to the bathroom in their presence. He used to have to go early in the morning to the Nile, etc. So if somebody were to bow down to Paray, Rava is saying, sure, he'd be chayev. Because that's not Ma'av or Meira. That's you're bowing down to him because they really believed in him. They really believed that he's a deer. As opposed to Haman, nobody actually believed. Everybody knew before that he'd been a barber or a bathhouse attendant or whatever. Nobody actually believed in him as a getchka. They're only bowing down because Kichain Siva Loya Melech, because the king commanded, and they're afraid of the consequences. So therefore, Rava says, yes, the Braith is not talking about that case. That case, you attack the apostle.
How can I be so stupid as to believe in this, that a human being is a god?
Okay, that's another question, but anyway. Okay. This is also true, yeah? Yeah? Okay. But I'm an Abaye. So now Abaye comes with his third argument. Menamin Allah, where do I get my din? Abaye is saying that you're chayev for Ava and Yira. Rava is saying Potter. So we slugged up Abaye's first two arguments, the argument from our Mishnah and the argument about the situation with Haman. Now we're going to go to the third one. Okay, the second one is not really an upschlug, but neither one of them is an upschlug, really. It's not like Abaye has been disproved, but at least he can't use that. Rava can say, you can't use those as proofs for your position, because I can explain our Mishnah differently. But here's the third one, the Tanya. We learn in a Braita. Now we need a little bit of background for this next one. The Torah tells us that if a regular citizen does an avera, which a person would be hired for it, skila, but not if a person does an avera, where if he had done it mazid, he'd be hired kares. Then if he does it b'shegiv, he has to bring a chatas. What kind of chatas? A regular citizen brings a female goat or a female sheep, dabka female. Somebody was asking.
Wait.
If a king does the same thing, instead he brings a male. And then you have the cases. Then you have the case involving a kohen gadol. If a kohen gadol does any of these kinds of avodas, there are special rules involved. The korban for him is special. He brings a par. He brings a bull as a korban, and it's one of the parim anistrofim, one of the ones that the blood of it is brought into the heichal, and afterwards the body of the animal is burnt outside the machna, outside Yerushalayim. But in the case of the Kohen Gadol, that only applies in the special case where there was namely, the Kohen Gadol himself is not just a regular person. He has to be somebody who is capable of deciding questions of halacha. And he, in the course of deciding a situation in halacha, he made a mistake and misinterpreted something in halacha and thought that something that's also is really mutter. We're going to learn about all this in Hodi. In a few months, says the Shem. Let me recap them. So you have a case where the Sanhedrin does that, where similarly, if the Sanhedrin makes a mistake like that for all Klal Yisrael, and most of the people follow, then they bring also a power as a korban. There you have to have Helam Dovrim Shigah Hamaisa, same idea. They have to misunderstand the halacha and then paskin wrongly. By the Kohen Gadol, the same rule applies. Otherwise, if the Kohen Gadol, Kohen Mashiach specifically, only if he's anointed the Shem and HaMishkah, and he's capable of deciding halacha, and he made a mistake and decided it wrongly, then he brings a par for any avera where a regular citizen would bring a kisva or a seira, a female sheep or a female goat, and where a king would bring a male goat instead. Mm-hmm. What about now? We have to consider the question. So this is all with regular things that are chayav kares. What about avodah zarah is an exception to the rule? If a regular citizen worships avodah zarah b'shogeg, and a regular citizen, by the way, and a king, it has nothing to do with passing halacha. It can just be that they forgot that this particular thing is also. It could be they never knew it's also. Whatever. It doesn't have to be they have to be capable of passing halacha. That concept applies only to the Kohen Gadol and the Sanhedrin. What happens by avodah zarah?
Avodah Zarah, if it's a regular citizen, instead of, like this with other Averis, you can bring a female sheep or a female goat. If it was Avodah Zarah, it dafka has to be a goat. Dafka has to be
a
that's the only time. When it must be, instead of a female sheep or a female goat, instead he brings dafka, a female sheep. Now,
what happens?
So that's it. He brings the korban, and that's the kapara. So the question is now, what happens? Kohen Mashiach ba'avodas kechavah. So now what happens if a Kohen Mashiach mistakenly worships Avodah Zarah? So do we treat him like, so is the din, or the circumstances under which he's chayav for the korban going to be the same as for a regular citizen? Rebbe Omer b'shigigas ma'aseh, Rebbe says that yes, it can be a regular shoigig like anybody else. He never knew, for example, that, or he forgot that this particular thing is osur. Then he brings the carbon. Then he brings the carbon. V'chamim behelam davar. The chacham say for avodah zarah, just like for any other mitzvah, he's only going to bring a carbon for it if he passed in halacha wrong. Just in other words, the same way again, the same way as a kohen gadol, a kohen mashiach, for example, if he's chayav b'shoigim, he's not going to be chayav a carbon. The only case where he's chayav a carbon is where there was helam davar im shigiras ma'aseh. Where he's capable of passing in halacha, he was analyzing the halacha as far as chaylev, he misinterpreted something, he came out that something which is really chaylev is actually, he thought was actually mutter, and paskins like that, and then he ends up following his own psak. That's when he brings his power. What happens now, we're saying by Avodah Zarah, instead of a power he's bringing a sawyer, does it have to be the same kind of thing where he misapplied the halacha and thought that, for example, let's say he thought that zibuach shaloi kedarka by Avodah Zarah is not chayev, and he went ahead and did that, or can it be he never misinterpreted the halacha, he forgot that zibuach is chayev. So Rebbe is saying he's fully like a regular citizen. Doesn't need to be helam davar. Doesn't need to be forgetting the halacha. Doesn't need to be misinterpreting the halacha. Just has to be that he forgot. And not chayv misa. Chayv, this is b'shogeg. Chayv b'shogeg. So the same way as the actual chatos is the same as a regular citizen, the same way the circumstances, Rebbe says, are going to be the same as for a regular citizen. As opposed to v'chachamim, I remember helam davar. V'chachamim say, no. It's true the korban is going to be the same as a regular citizen, a se'ira, but the circumstances still have to be the special circumstances that would apply to a kohen gadol. Helam davar, where he passed in the halacha wrong. Where he mistakenly passed in the halacha wrongly. The shavin, but they both agree, should be se'ira kiyachad, they both agree that he brings dafka a female goat, just like an individual, just like a regular citizen. The shavin, shein nevi, oshem toli, they also, by the way, both agree that a kohen gadol wouldn't bring an oshem toli. If, for example, let's say he's not sure, for example, his classic case, he had two pieces of fat on the table, one is chaylev, one is not, and he ate one of them, he's not sure which one, where a regular citizen would bring an oshem toli, a kohen gadol does not.
What does he
bring? He doesn't bring any carbon. Yeah. So therefore, we have to ask, now that we have this price, so Abaya says, look, you're telling me that there could be a case of shogig of Avodah Zarah. What is that situation? Are you talking about a situation, for example, where he was in a building or next to a building and he bowed to it, thinking that it was a shul, and it turns out that it was instead of church, a base of Avodah Zarah? Of course he's not chayev for a korban. Harei libel l'shamayim. He meant to bow to the Eibishter. In fact, actually, Rashi uses the unusual expression. Rashi says even if he knew that it was a beis avodas kechavim and he bowed in there l'shem shamayim, Rashi says ein kan oynish. There wouldn't be an oynish because you're not bowing to the actual building. You're bowing to the one who has to the Eibishter who has his shchina in the building. Now it's interesting. Rashi uses the word "ein kan oinish," which implies Rishonim say that Rashi implies to say you're still not allowed to go into a church or whatever and bow down, intending to bow down to the Eivishter. That's still also, if nothing else, Maris Ayin. All we're saying is "ein kan oinish." But here, our Gemara is not even talking about that case. Our Gemara is talking about he thought the building was a shul, and it turns out afterwards that it's a church. So of course, there's no korban involved in this. Ella the chazan darta v'ishtachaloi. So what are you talking about? A case where the kohen gadol saw a statue of the king that they have in honor of the king,
v'ishtachveloi, and he bowed down to it. Well, what are the circumstances? E kibble alei v'eleka. We're not talking about this is a king who's not necessarily usually worshipped as a god, as a deity by his subjects. This is a regular king. He just puts up statues. Regular secular king who puts up statues in his honor. So what happens if the kohen gadol bows in front of such a statue? E kibble alei v'eleka. If he said, "I accept this statue or this king as my god," of course, mezidu. Then he's a mezid. There's nothing to talk about a korban. And if he did not accept it as a god, he's just bowing in front of it in honor of the king. Loi klumu, then it's still nothing. There's no avodah zarah. So what is the case of shogeg involving avodah zarah? Abaye says, el alav me'avo me'ira. Evidently, that it must be a case of ava and yira. Namely, he thinks that you're allowed to worship avodah zarah me'avo me'ira.
It's internal.
No, meaning in other words, he's doing it out of fear of somebody or out of love for somebody, or like the Rambam said, out of love for the workmanship of the statue or superstitious fear of what it could do to him, whatever. And in other words, Abaye is saying, evidently the implication is that he thinks such a thing is allowed. It turns out it's not, because you in fact would be chayiv if you did such a thing b'mezid. Therefore, b'shogeg you bring a korban. Well, there you go. Abaye says, so you see, me'avo me'ira, you would be chayiv misa if it was b'mezid, and if it's b'shogeg you bring a chatas. So what are you telling me, Rava, that it's potter? Vid Rava amalach, what would Rava answer to that? He would say, look, no, the case of shogeg, the case of shogeg involving a kohen gadol is not, like you're saying, ava and yira, but b'oimim mutter. No, the case would rather be oimim mutter, where he thought that you're allowed to worship avodah zarah. He thought there's no such issur in the Torah. The question is, oimim mutter hainu helam dover. In that case, that amounts to the same thing as Helam Dover. We just said according to Rebbe, you don't need Helam Dover. It's enough for him to have Shigigas Maisa, that he did it b'shoigig, and that already makes him chayv. Helam Dover, usually Helam Dover would mean that he misapplied the halacha. That he was looking over the halacha, so avodah zarah. He misunderstood based on what we were learning before, for example, and thought, let's say, that you're allowed to shech the korban in front of an avodah zarah as long as that's not the normal way of worshiping it. Let's say he thought you're allowed to shech the korban in front of Merkulis, and it turned out that it's not. That would be called helam dover. Shigigas Naisa just means that he never knew that he forgot. He knew at one time that Zvicha is also. He wasn't right now sitting and analyzing the halacha. He forgot and went and shechted the korban. So then, isn't Oimim Mutter the same as Helam Dover? So what are Rebbe and the Chachamim arguing about then when one says Shigigas Naisa and the other says Helam Dover? The answer is, but Oimim Mutter the Gamri. The difference is Oimim Mutter means he thinks there's no such issue as a avodah zarah in the Torah at all. Helam Dover means kiyum mitzvah or vital mitzvah, as opposed to Helam Dover would mean that he keeps some of the mitzvah and is mevakel some of it. So let's say Rashi gives an example over here. Let's say, for example, he were to think that, yes, of course, the Torah tells us you're not allowed to worship avodah zarah, but that means things like we learned yesterday, avodas pnim. You're not allowed to do things that are done exclusively in this mitzvah. For Hashem, you're not allowed to do them to getchkin. But let's say bowing. You bow to kings, you bow in shuls or whatever. Therefore, it should be allowed to bow to an avodah zarah. And he goes and does that. That would be called helam dover. Yeah. That's kiyum mitzvah to bittul mitzvah. He kept some of the mitzvah of avodah zarah. He knows you're not allowed to shech at a korban or pour a libation for it or whatever. But he thinks, bittul mitzvah, he thinks you're allowed to bow to it, let's say. So that would be called helam dover. As opposed to oimim mutter is not called helam dover. And in fact, with the dinim of the Sanhedrin or the dinim of the Kohen Gadol, it's true. Oimim mutter is not considered helam dover. The Sanhedrin wouldn't bring a parim on his drachim. The Kohen Gadol wouldn't bring parim on his drachim in a case like that, where oimim mutter, they only bring a taka in a case where piu mixtus or bitul mixtus, where you knew, let's say with chelav. If they, the same thing with the Sanhedrin and the same thing with the Kohen Gadol. If they thought there's no issue of chelav in the Torah and they ate chelav, There's no particular korban that you bring for that. Only if they said, let's say, for example, yes, of course the Torah says that chelav is also, but chelav from this particular part of the stomach is not considered chelav. That would be the mistake that they make, and that would be when they bring the par helam dover, the par helam dover of the tzibur or the kohen gadol. So Rava says, therefore, you don't have to say again that shogeg in the case of the kohen gadol over here is talking about where it's talking about ava and yira. You can say he forgot the entire thing. He thought there's no issue of avodah zarah in the Torah. So then that can still be called shogeg. If you didn't know, yeah. So in other words, so Rava is saying all your three proofs, Abaya, I can deflect them all. I have other ways of understanding the respective Mishnayos and Braises that don't require you to say that you're chayav for worshipping the Av or Meira. So then we're going to set that aside for now. We're going to get back to that later on the Omer. We're going to revisit this idea of Av and Meira. Okay. Tanei Rav Zakeh Kamei D'Rav Yechonah.
conclusion.
Well, so no. I mean, the halacha is like Rava. The halacha is always like Rava against Abaye,
right.
except in the six cases. Yao Kagam. Yeah, the halacha is like Rava in the end because of that. But we haven't finished the discussion yet. We're gonna get back to Ava a year or later on. Tony Rav Zakkai Kamei de Rav Yechon. And Rav Zakkai taught the following braisa in front of Rav Yechon. Zibeach v'kita v'nitzach v'ishtach v'behelamach. What if somebody did all four avodas in front of a getchka all in one helam, in one period of unknowingness? How many chatois is he chayim? Eine chayiv alachas. He's only chayiv one chatos. Amalei, so Rav Yechon tells him, puk toni levara. Go out of here. Teach that braisa outside. In other words, that braisa can't possibly be correct.
He should be chayav all.
He should be chayav individually for each one. Yeah. Amar Abba, so Rav Abba says, actually, it's not so simple to say that it's a wrong braisa. Hold Amar Rav Zakkai, Rav Machlokes, Rav Yosi, Rav Nosson. This braisa that Rav Zakkai said that you only chayav one chatas can be. We can say that this question it could be a machlokes between Rav Yosi and Rav Nosson. Namely, the Tanya we learn in a braisa. Tanoim, yeah. Now we've learned before. We learned earlier in Amar Sechta. We've learned in a couple of places, and we learned in a couple of other places in Yevamos. We know the Torah tells us in Alav Zum Alacham Shabbos Lo Fasa Kol Malach. Then the Torah mentions specifically in Parshas Vayakel, Lo Sivaru Esh V'Chomer Shvesechem. Don't make a fire in any of your dwellings. Earlier in Amar Sechta, we learned that it means you're not allowed to give Mrs. Basin on Shabbos. But anyway, the question is, why does the Torah single out Havara out of all the other 39 Malachim? So we've discussed. You have a Machlokes. D'Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Havara Lo Lav Yachta Divrei Rav Yosi. Rav Yosi says the reason why Havara is singled out is to tell us it's not like the other 39 Malachim. Unlike all the other ones, the person were to do them b'mezid with Eidim Vasra, he gets Skila, or Kare, so if there were no Eidim Vasra. When it comes to Havara, Rav Yosi is saying, the Torah singles it out to tell us it's only allowed
instead of
Chiyuv Misa.
So what would differentiate?
Right? That's what he's saying. That Havara would be, he's saying that Havara, the Torah tells us, like Sivaru Esh, to tell us that it's only a lav, as opposed to all the other Malachas of Shabbos are in the general category of Kol HaOisabon Malacha Mois Yumas, Yechayiv Misa. Havara is singled out. Havara is singled out, and we say that now. We said before, when we learned this earlier in the Masechta, that the Maharal gives a reason why Rav Yosi might say that. Why would he say Avara is different? Because Avara is the most naturalistic of all the Malachas. Because fires can happen spontaneously. No other Malacha really can happen.
Not so easy.
Yeah, but it can happen.
Fires
can break out spontaneously. Lightning hits a tree or a pile of rats. No, obviously not. But the point is, therefore Rav Yosi is arguing, therefore even you made a fire on Shabbos. You actually did it. Nevertheless, you did like something which is barely even qualifies as a malacha. Writing, let's say, writing doesn't just happen spontaneously. Shechting an animal or whatever doesn't just happen spontaneously. Weaving, whatever, doesn't just happen spontaneously.
Fire.
But fire can happen spontaneously. And therefore, if Yosi argues, even you did it yourself, what you did, fine, it qualifies as a malacha, but barely. Not enough to make you chayav milcha. Okay, that's Rav Yosi. Rav Nosson, I'm a lachalik yasa. Whereas Rav Nosson says the reason why fire is singled out is l'lamad ala klal kula yasa. It comes to teach us about the whole klal, that just like a person is going to be chayav a chatas individually for havara, the same way he'd be chayav a chatas individually for any of the other malachas. You shouldn't think, in other words, if a person does 10 malachas on Shabbos, that they're only chayav one chatas. Rav Nosson is arguing, no, the pasuk is telling them, the pasuk is implying that you're going to be chayav a chatas for each one individually. Well, yes, but it depends what kind. It depends, as we're going to see. It depends. The Gemara discusses this extensively in Shabbos. Here, we're just going to get into it briefly. But it depends what kind of shgaga there was. You can have there's a few different types of shogig when it comes to Shabbos. There can be shogig where you didn't know that it's Shabbos. You can have that the Gemara is going to call soon. That Gemara is going to call soon shigigas Shabbos. There can be shigigas malachas where you know it's Shabbos, but you didn't know this malacha is off. The distinction between them. The Mishnah says in Shabbos. The Mishnah says in Shabbos three possibilities. If you have a person who doesn't know at all that the concept of Shabbos exists, for example, a Tinik Shanishva, then once he finds out, he's chayav one chatas for all the Shabbosim he broke. He broke a year's worth of Shabbosim, one chatas covers it all. If he knows the concept of Shabbos, he just didn't know when Shabbos was or whatever, then he brings one chatas for each Shabbos that he broke.
If he knew when the individual Shabbosim were, and he just didn't know that the Malachas are also, then he brings Chatzarot for the individual Malachas. So Rav Nosson is saying, we learn that concept, that you do individual Chatzarot for the individual Malachas, you learn that from the fact that the Torah singles out Havara and mentions it separately from all the other Malachas.
But you apply to all the
masters. Yes, because so the point is, therefore, so now, again, we have Reb Zakkai's Braisa who said that if you did four avodas to a getch, give a helam echad, you have one chatas. Reb Yechanan tells him, get out of here, that's not true. So Reb Abba is saying that may depend on the same machlokas that we have by Havara. Lamanda Omer have order lulav yotza, according to Reb Nosson, according to Reb Yossi, who says that it would be like that same machlokas. According to Reb Nosson, who says have order lulav yotza, that have order is singled out to teach us that it's only a lav, not a chiyuv misa. Well, then ishtachaba nam lulav yotza. You could argue then that according to him, ishtachaba is also singled out to tell us that it's only a lav, not a chiyuv misa. It actually says it would be a chiyuv misa because it does mention skila by it, but at least that you wouldn't be chayv a chatos for it. It wouldn't be chayv a chatos for ishtachavah. You'd be chayv skila if it was bemezid, and nothing else, Rashi says. Nothing else. There'd be no chorus if there was no edim batzra, and no chatos otherwise. You could argue that way. As opposed, if you say that havara is l'chalik, ishtachavah could also be l'chalik. Rashi points out later on in the sugya, which we'll learn on Samach Gimel, the Gemara points out that there's three times in the Torah that it says not to bow down to Avodah Zarah. One teaches us if that's the normal way to worship it, Tadaka. One teaches us even if it's not the normal way to worship it, Shalai Tadaka, it's still the Shtachavar is one of the four Avodahs. And the third one, we're going to say over here, is L'chalik, is to distinguish it from the other one. So according to Rabbi Yossi, he said the same kind of thing as we said before with Havara, that according to Rav Nosson, it teaches us just like Havara is Chayav Achatas on its own, so also is Hazereah and Achorish and all the other Malachas of Shabbos. He would say the same thing as far as Hashtachavah. The third Hashtachavah, Rav Yossi might say, comes to teach us that Hashtachavah is an exception to the rule, just like Havara is an exception to the rule. And Rav Nosson would say, L'chalik, it teaches us that each Avodah you Chayav separately for. So Lamanda Amma Havara Lav Yotza. So according to Rav Yossi, who says that Havara teaches the word Havara teaches the Torah mentioning Havara separately teaches us only a Lav, not a Chiyuv Misa. Fine, Ishtachavah Nami Lav Yotza. Ishtachavah could also be singled out to tell us that it's only a Lav, and not a Chiyuv Misa. Rashi says fine because they have different parts, but not a Chiyuv Chata. Lamanda Amma Havara L'chalik Yotza, as opposed to according to Rav Nosson that Havara teaches us that each malacha is treated as an individual unit and it's chayv an individual chatas, Ishtachavah Nami L'chalik Yotza. So therefore, Ishtachavah could also be singled out to teach us the same kind of thing. That would be what Rav Yochanan is saying. So Rav Zakkai's Braisa would be according to Rav Yossi. That if you did them all behelam echad, you'd be chayv one chat. Rav Yochanan, who told him get out of here, would take your braisa with you, would hold like Rav Nosson that l'chalik yotza. So therefore, each one you have an individual chatas for. So four chatas.
So what's okay?
That's the problem with that is mask before Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says asks on that. Duma ad kam lekamer Rav Yossi hasam have order lav yotza. No, maybe over there, Rav Yossi has a special reason to argue that Havara is not meant to make a general rule, but rather that it's meant to tell us something specific about Havara itself, that it's only Lulav Yotza. He has a particular reason, because he can learn, he would learn that concept from the drosha of the word, the pasuk says, that a person brings a chatas, if he does an Avera, me'achas mehena, from one, from them. Now the pasuk didn't have to say the pasuk could have said achas heina or achas mehena or whatever and says mei achas mehena. So we doubt him from that. The Tanya Rabbi Yossi Omer, but also mei achas mehena. When the pasuk says that a person does of one of those, so what does that mean? What does all that mean? Shechayv achas arkulin. It means the Torah is implying sometimes a person is going to be chayv one chatos for a whole catalog of averus. And sometimes he's going to be chayav individually, mehena, for each one individually. But Amr Rav Yonasan, and Rav Yonasan spells out, my time at Rav Yossi, what's Rav Yossi's svara, and when do we say one, and when do we fly one to the other? Like this, but also me'achas mehena. The pasuk says again that he did from one of these. The pasuk could have said achas mehena, didn't have to say achas at all, could have said mehena, it could have said ba'asa achas. So therefore, we have a bunch of extra words and letters in the pasuk over here. Therefore, we can dashin achas me achas, heno me heno. It means you have four possibilities. You have achas, one. You have me achas, from one. You have heno, which means they, plural, and me heno, from one. We learn a different din from each of those four things, says Rabbi Yonason. Like this. Achas ma'aya. Achas shi heno, and further, you have even more. Achas shi heno, v'heno shi achas. Further, you have a case of one which is many, or many which are one. So you have a bunch of different cases over here. What are all these cases? Achas means shimon. Achas, one thing that a person would be chayav for one malacha is, for example, he writes out the name shimon. That's achas. He did one complete thing. He wrote one complete word. Achas, may achas, what does it mean when it says from one, implying he didn't do the entire one thing, but he did enough to be chayav? That would be shem mishimon. That would be, let's say, for example, he intended to write the name shimon. Instead, he ended up writing only the words, the letters shin and mem. But shin and mem itself makes a word, or a name. It makes the word shame.
So it's me.
So therefore, it's me achas. He didn't do all of what he intended to do, because he intended to write the name shimon, but he did enough so that it stands on its own. As opposed to, Rashi says over here, let's say, for example, a person meant to write the word naftali, let's say, and he only wrote nun fe. That doesn't spell out a word by itself. Therefore, he wouldn't be chayav for that.
So it's me achas.
So that's me achas, where you do some of the malacha that you did, but enough of it to be chayav. That's me achas. Hena, the pasuk mentions Hena, which means them. That means avos. That means the 39 avos malachos. Mehena means the toldos. The word meh, the mem of mehena comes to teach us not only if you do the avos, but also if you do any of the toldos, you also chayim. What now? Here's the key thing that we're mentioning over here. Achas shehi hena. What does it mean when the pasuk is saying meh achas meh hena, implying therefore that sometimes you can have achas which results in hena? That would be Zodin Shabbos for Shigas Malachas. That would be, let's say, for example, the person is bemazed about Shabbos. He knows that today is Shabbos. The Shigas Malachas, but he was beshagged about the Malachas. He didn't know that these various things are also to do on Shabbos. That's what we say, Achas Mehena, that now he becomes for one Shabbos right. That he broke, but in many different ways. Hena, he's chayiv individual chatois for each one.
Even though he,
so in other words, if it had been, then well, that's the next case. If he forgot that it was Shabbos altogether, then he's only chayav one chatos. That's the next case.
But he knew it's Shabbos,
but he forgot that these are malachas. Then he has to bring individual. Yes. Hena sheyachas shigras Shabbos is on malachas. And when do we have hena, which is achas? When do you have that he did many different actions, but he's only chayav one chatos, where he was b'shoigig about Shabbos? He knew that writing on Shabbos was also, and he knew that switching on lights is also, and he knew and so forth. But he didn't know it was Shabbos. Then he's only chayav one chatos. So the point is, therefore, Rabbi Yossi would say that in the case of Shabbos, I have reason to argue, in that case, when it comes specifically to Shabbos, I have reason to argue that I have this whole concept of achas mehena to teach us the concept that you have an individual chatas for each of the different historians. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi would say, I don't need loitzavaru eish to teach us that concept, like Rav Nosson is saying. I hold, we learn it from me'achas mehena. Well, then in that case, why is like, a single... It's in Parshas Vayikra, when it talks about bringing a chatos. So, therefore, Rabbi Yossi would say, I don't need loisavaru ish from Vayakil to tell us that. I already have me'achas mehena from Parshas Vayikra. Therefore, Havara must be the law of Yossos. It must be to teach us something about Havara individually. That's only a law and not a few myths. So he would say that in that case, Aval Hacha, but when it comes to here, Tavar Dezara, Teishtachava, Deloy Nachkele Chiluk Malachas Medruch Dachrini, Lechore, he doesn't have any other source to say that you should be chayev individually for each of the Avodas for an Avodazara. Dekolam, Teishtachava, Lechalak Yasa. So maybe everybody should agree, even Rabbi Yossi, that if the Torah mentions Teishtachava separately from all the other Avodas, it must be to teach us that each one individually is chayev Chattas. And therefore, you're telling me Rav Zakkai's Braisa was going according to Rav Yossi, but not necessarily. Rav Yossi might say, by Shabbos, yes, you have to bring individual chatois for the individual things. We learn from Achav Meir. But when it comes to Avodah Zarah, not necessarily. Rav Yossi would say, by Shabbos, you do bring chatois for each individual one, because we learn from my Achav Meir. Avodah Zarah, you bring chatois for each individual one, because Ishtachavah, l'chalak yosef, because Ishtachavah teaches us just like Ishtachavah, you bring a carbon for, so also each one individually. So where is Rav Zakkai getting the statement in his braisa that you bring one chatos for all of them? Okay. So the Gemara answers that, why not? Chiluk malachas davaritz kechavim nami, why not? Shouldn't he be able to learn?
Defending
Rav Zakkai. Yeah, defending Rav Abba's point that Rav Zakkai's braisa can be according to Rav Yosef.
Why can't we say, yeah, chiluk malachas davaris kechavim nami, tibuklema achas mehena? Why ever not? The same kind of drasha of achas mehena that we're using for the malachas of Shabbos to distinguish between the different cases, you could do the same. You could do the same kind of drasha as far as the halachas of avodah zarah. Achas would mean zvicha. For example, achas would mean that you chayev if you shech the korban, a full-fledged shechita where you cut both simonim for avodah zarah. Mei achas would be simon echad. Mei achas would mean you chayev even if you only shechted one of the two simonim, which would be a possible shechita, but nevertheless that would be enough to be mechayev. Hena would mean others. The word hena, again, just like by Shabbos, would mean the others, the four things that are mentioned in our mission. Namely, zibuach kitur nisach ishtachaba, shechting, burning, libation, or bowing. Meheno would be tovus. And what would meheno would include would be tovus. For example, shovel maka lopanel. For example, what if you break a stick in front of a genshke? Breaking a stick is similar to shchita, because what happens with shchita, you're cutting the animal's neck and then dividing it in two, therefore, basically. Now, Rashi says specifically we're talking about over here a case, which we'll learn about in Avodah Zarah. Let's say you have a particular Avodah Zarah. Let's say the normal way of worshipping it is involving a stick. The normal way of worshipping it, let's say, is to take a stick and wave it around in front of it. If you were to take that stick and break it in front of it, that's the equivalent of taking an animal and shechting it to that Avodah Zarah. As opposed to, Rashi says, if let's say you have an Avodah Zarah like Pa'ur or Merkulis or whatever, where the normal way of worshipping it has nothing to do with sticks, you break a stick in front of it, nothing happens. That can't be considered like shechita. Not all the Rishonim agree with that. The Rambam, I believe, says that not. That any time you break a stick in front of a getchka, regardless what type of it is, that would be considered the equivalent of shechita. Anyway, we could consider that a tolda of shechita. So there, and you could learn that from Mehena. Achas shehena. Further, you could say that, just like we said with Shabbos, achas shehena. When do you have a case you did one violation which makes you chayav from multiple chatos, just like by Shabbos, would be zodin avodas kachavim shigras avodas, would be you knew that this is an avodah zarah, and you knew that avodah zarah is also, but you didn't know that these particular actions are also, so you did zibruach and kitter and nisach and ishtachava, and therefore you chayav on all four individually. Hena shiachas would be shigras avodas kachavim zodin avodas. And Hena Shiyachas would be, if you didn't know that Avodah Zarah is Aser, if you didn't know that this is an Avodah Zarah, rather, you didn't know this is an Avodah Zarah, and you ended up, but you knew which Avodahs are Aser, and you did all four of them. So you could argue, you knew that you're not allowed to shech the korban into an Avodah Zarah. You didn't realize this is an Avodah Zarah. So then, arguably, you should be chayav only one chatos.
Right.
So again, Rav Zakkai is right. It could still be made to work according to Rav Yossi that there could be a case when you chayav only one. Namely, your helam echad was you didn't know this is an avodah zarah. Just like the case you didn't know today was Shabbos.
That's a little more fetch because I mean, if you do one of these avodas of avodah zarah, you should be able to realize that it is avodah zarah.
Not necessarily. You thought that it's l'shamayim, for example. You thought this statue is here in honor of the Eibishter. Let's say, I don't know, whatever. Okay. Well, that's what we have to ask about. Now we got to get into the question, what is the shogeg of avodah zarah? If we're going to understand it that way, then it means there has to be a case where you didn't know, where you did an avodah, but you didn't know that it was avodah zarah. What is the case? Heichidami. So again, let's go through the possibilities like we did before in Abaya's argument. If the case is, for example, you thought this building is a shul and you bowed there and it turned out that it was a church, you meant to bow to the Eibishter. You're not chayav for it. There's no chiyuv because there was no intention of avodah zarah over here. Ela v'chazan dar to v'sogidlei. Are you talking about that you saw a statue of the king that the king put up in his honor and you bowed down to it? Again, if you accepted that the statue of the king is your deity, then of course mezidud and you were mezid and there's nothing to talk about a chatos. You chayav nisa. Ela kiblei alei like klumon. If you didn't accept it, you're only bowing down in honor of the king. That's not a problem.
I respect.
Yes. Ela me'av o me'yira. Evidently, here's where we get back to Ava and Yira. Evidently, the shogeg of this discussion that we're talking about over here must be Me'ava and Yira. Well, Hanichala Baya Damachai. You thought that you're allowed to worship Avodah Zarah Me'ava and Yira. You thought, I'm only worshiping it because I'm afraid of what the king is going to do, and you think it's Mutter, and it turns out that not. Hanichala Baya Damachai. Okay, that works out according to Abaya, who says that you would be Chayiv if you did such a thing, B'mezid. Therefore, you did it for shogeg. You didn't know that Ava Yira is Osir. Then fine, you bring a chatos. According to Abai, Elul Rava Dama Potter my Eichel Meimer. According to Rava, who says that you'd be Potter in such case, how are you going to understand the previous discussion? How are you going to understand the case of Shigrat Avodah Zarah? answer is Ella Baum.
Peter Schiff was saying what?
We established before, in the discussion before, we were saying that there conceivably could be a case of Shigras Avodazara. You did one of the Avodas, for example, the Shtachava, to an Avodazara, or you did more than one, let's say, and you didn't know that it was Avodazara. But what is, according to Rava, if you did it, it's an Ava and Yira, you attack a Potter, so what happened? Ella Baum Mutter. So therefore, again, you have to say, like we said on the top of the Amud, that Rava would answer, that the Shogeg has to be talking about Omer Mutter. You thought you were allowed to do, you thought that there's no such Isra of a Dezara in the Torah. So the question is
the case?
Well, in that case, then you're taka Chayav HaChatzos. But the problem with that is, Tifshe Deboi Mene Rava Men Abnachman. In that case, shouldn't you be able to use, now, if you're saying Omer Mutter, it means that both. It means that you have a double shogeg over here. It means that you were unaware that it's also to worship Avodah Zarah, or that this is an Avodah Zarah, or whatever. You were also unaware of what Avodah make you chayav for Avodah Zarah, because you didn't know the concept of Avodah Zarah at all. So in that case, it's a double shogeg. In that case, if we're going to understand it that way, tifshot debo mine rova med amnachman. Shouldn't you be able to answer the question that we find in a different Gemara in Shabbos, where Rava asks Rav Nachman, Helam Zev Zev Yodei Mahu. What about when it comes to Shabbos, for example? If a person were to be a Helam of both of them, he doesn't know that it's Shabbos, and he doesn't know these Malachas are off. And he does a bunch of Malachas. How many Chatzorot is he Chayav?
If he didn't know it was Shabbos, we said one.
No, but on the other hand, we said if he knew it's Shabbos, but he didn't know these are Malachas, then he's Chayav multiple ones. Here, he didn't know both. He did a bunch of Malachas. He didn't know it was Shabbos, and he didn't know these Malachas are off. Do we go according to the fact that he didn't know it was Shabbos and therefore only one chatas, or do we go according to the fact that he didn't know that these are malachas and therefore multiple chatas? Rava asked that question. Did Rav Nachman?
He has to say that since he didn't know that it was Shabbos, whether or not he didn't know that the other ones were also not Avodah Zarah doesn't matter.
Well,
it should be one.
Okay. Rava asked the question. And if you're going to say in our Gemara over here, if you're going to say that Rava has to understand Shogeg of Avodah Zarah as Omer Mutter, that you think the whole thing is Mutter, you think there's no Isra of Avodah Zarah, which means a double Shogeg, you didn't know that it's also as Avodah Zarah, and you didn't know that each individual Avodah is also. Shouldn't you be able to answer on the basis of our story over here? You should be able to answer Rava's question and say that you only chayav one chatas. And in fact, the Gemara discusses it over there in Shabbos and doesn't bring our case as a proof one way or the other. Okay, the Gemara says, "Hold it, kasha v'tifshe." Fine, no problem. Okay, yes, you can use our discussion as a basis for an answer. Okay, the Chachamim over there didn't either. The Chachmei Yeshiva, the Bnei Yeshiva over there didn't use it. Fine, they didn't use it. We ourselves, now that we have our discussion over here, yes, we could answer Robert's question and say you tackle only the Chayav one chatas, which is the halacha, by the way. We could use our sugya over here as a proof that Rava would necessarily have to say the only way you could have shogeg of Avodah Zarah is Omer Mutter. You thought there's no Isra of Avodah Zarah at all. That's the equivalent of a double. You didn't know, and you didn't know that these Avodahs make you chayav for Avodah Zarah. That's the equivalent of Shigras Shabbat for Shigras Malachas. Yes, you can answer Rava's question. You know, Nachman, that yes, you'd only be chayav one chayav. That's not a problem. Okay, the Gemara says, however, okay, but you just argued before in the sugya that you want to say me'achas mehena is also talking about the case of Avodah Zarah, not just Shabbos with the Ovis and the Toldos and whatever, but also Avodah Zarah, as we just said. How could you think that me'achas mehena is referring to Avodah Zarah? Those words me'achas mehena are in the context of where it talks about the korban that a Kohen Mashiach brings for his averus, which is a par, or the case of a Nasi who brings a sar, or a yachid, a regular citizen who brings a kisva or seer, a female sheep or female goat. The ilub avodis kachavim tnan. No, not yet. Give us a minute. The ilub avodis kachavim tnan. But when it comes to Avodah Zarah, we learned the shavin shavisir or kiyachid. We said that everybody agrees the Kohen Gadol does not bring his power. He brings a female goat, just like a yachid. So therefore, obviously, me'achas mehena cannot be talking about Avodah Zarah, because it's talking about in the context of the korban that you bring for other avodas. Okay, the Tulei Midi, that's it. There's no answer to that. So therefore, we're left with that we taka have no way of saying chiluk malachas b'avodas kachavim. We taka have no source yet. Later on, the Gemara is going to revisit this and see. But so far, we don't have a source yet for the idea that you should be chayav an individual chatas for each avoda, for each individual avoda to a getchka. So far, we're left. So, so, so far.
Comment.
so far the only way that we could learn it is from Hishtachava, as we said before. Later on, we're going to revisit and see if we have another source for that concept. But so far, we're left with, we don't have a source to say Chiluk Malach, or to say whether you should bring Chatzaris individually for each Avodah, or one Chatzah collectively for. That's Malachas by Shabbos. Chiluk Malachas by Shabbos, sure. Avodah Zarah was saying, given that the only way you could learn it that we know of so far is from Achas Mehena, and Achas Mehena is not talking about in the context of Avodah Zarah, it's talking about in the context of the Torben that the Kohen Gadol brings for other Averas, then it can't work, so therefore we don't have that as a way to learn it.